I want you to do two things. I want you to open your Bible to Mark chapter 10, and I also want you to open your Bible to Luke 18. And the reason is because we're going to be referencing both of the accounts, two of the three accounts anyway, of the healing of Bartimaeus. Before I read the text, I want to make a couple comments. The miracles teach us so much more than we know. I promise you this morning, as God's Spirit enables us to see, you're going to see things you've not seen before, simply in new ways, because that's what the illumination of the Holy Spirit does. This weekend, we're having a conference. Well, Michael Card is going to be here on biblical imagination. Some of you have asked, well, what is that exactly? Well, Michael Card is a gifted songwriter. He's also a gifted author. He's a great musician. For a long season, he was actually an elder in a PCA church. He is a man that God has blessed with many gifts. One of his favorite things to do is to make sure he's singing, writing about, and teaching the Word of God. And he does it in a profound way. God has given us the ability to think, and he wants us to think deeply about his holy word. All this conference is to help people learn how they can dig into the scripture, to do exposition of the text, to understand through exegesis what it means to really know the fullness of this in its context. I really encourage you to be a part of it. What we're doing Sunday after Sunday is asking God's Spirit to illuminate the text for us. Another thing that happens in these miracles is that they teach us to pray. I know many of you are burdened by the condition of our country. You have sent me emails saying, let's pray. We ought to always be praying for our leaders. Always. But what are we praying specifically? The miracles teach us time and time again what we should be praying. Here you see it so clearly in this miracle. Jesus, help me recover my sight. Oh, that we would be praying for the leaders God calls to lead this country, that they would trust him, that they would see him, that they would see their need for him, regardless of where they are now, that their eyes would be open to see as they've never seen before. As the body of Christ, we should be praying those bold prayers. It comes back to these prayers which his holy word teaches us to pray. Prayers like, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, help me recover my sight. That's my prayer right now, that every one of us would see it differently than we did just a few minutes ago. Again, I'll be in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of the Lord. I want to outline this passage here in Mark and again in Luke 18 with these three headings. The cry, the question, and the cure. And I urge you to grab the blue pew Bible in front of you if you did not bring your own and place your hand at Mark 10, but also at Luke 18. First, I want us to look at the cry. Bartimaeus is offering a cry to the Lord. That cry is born out of his condition. And his condition is blindness. He cannot see anything. That means he's also poor. And so as a blind beggar, Bartimaeus has been going to this one particular spot, perhaps others as well, we don't know. But there he sits, and as people come by, he does what many blind beggars do. He simply begins to ask that they would give him money. And he has good days, and he has bad days. Imagine the scene. There he is with his cloak on him, and he hears people coming, and he simply rattles something to get their attention or cries out. His cry, though, is born out of his blindness. He wants to see. He longs to see, but he can't. And there's nothing that he in himself can do. He's blind. But on this day, Bartimaeus hears something. This is the listening before the cry. Turn with me to Luke 18, beginning in verse 35. As Jesus drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he, Bartimaeus, inquired what this meant. So picture the scene. Bartimaeus is normally present. A few people travel by in small groups or individuals. But this day's different. He hears something differently. It's louder. There's commotion. And so he asks someone, we don't know who, what does this mean? It's the listening before the cry. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So now, the first words of Bartimaeus to Jesus are very significant. Verse 38 of Luke 18. He cried out, Jesus, Son of David. Notice, when Bartimaeus asked, what does this mean? They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is coming. But Bartimaeus doesn't cry out, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. He cries out, Jesus, Son of David. And that's very significant. You see, Jesus of Nazareth is simply the name and the location. And in many cases, it didn't have a positive reflection. In John 1, we hear the spokesman say, does anything good come from Nazareth? So the crowd simply says, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Well, Bartimaeus knows who this Jesus is. This is Jesus' last journey. He is on his way into Jerusalem. This is the only time he moves towards this part of Jericho. And Bartimaeus, knowing who he is, knowing what he's heard about this Jesus, he cries out. But he doesn't cry out, Jesus from Nazareth. He cries out, Jesus, Son of David. And what that means is that Bartimaeus believed. He believed that Jesus was who he said he was. That he is from the divine line, that he is the Messiah, he is the King. And anytime you see that phrase, there is that sense of belief that he is the one who is the Son of David. So Bartimaeus cries out, Jesus, Son of David. But his next words are words of mercy. He doesn't say, heal me. He says, have mercy on me. That's why this whole service, from the beginning to the end, it's been about this word, this gift from God, this mercy that he gives us time and time again. Bartimaeus doesn't say, Jesus, heal my blindness. He approaches Jesus as we must, the only way. It's through mercy, his mercy. And so as he comes to Christ and says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's not relying upon merit. He's not relying upon a sad story. He's not saying, listen to my circumstances. I've been blind this long and I've been here present begging this long. He knows that the only way in which he could have access to the healing powers of God, Jesus, is mercy. And something I want us to see today is that there's mercies before mercy. Mercies before mercy. What do I mean? The fact that Jericho is where Bartimaeus is during this last season of Christ's life on earth, the fact that this is the last time Jesus will pass this spot, the fact that Bartimaeus was there at the moment Jesus was passing, all of these things are mercies. The fact that Bartimaeus asked the question, what does this mean, is a mercy. The fact that Jesus heard Bartimaeus' cry is a mercy. The fact that Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was the Son of David and had the power to heal is a mercy. It's mercies before mercy. Just like any person here today who has professed faith in Christ, there were mercies before that mercy. There were mercies before you ever said, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Behind the scenes of your conversion, the Holy Spirit was moving. He was moving in such a way that you were convicted of your sin and knew you needed help. He was moving in such a way that you found Jesus to be irresistible. And there was a moment you said, I have to have him. There's nothing else I can do. And it's mercy. And that mercy leads to mercy, leads to mercy. So here is Bartimaeus. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And how is he crying? If you translate the Greek literally, Bartimaeus is screaming. You see, if you're desperate, if you believe this is my chance, this Savior is passing by right now. I've never heard of him passing this spot before. I'm here. I'm blind. I can't see, but I hear the commotion. And I've got nothing else to do. This is my last chance. You scream. If there's a chance that this could be your healing, your moment, you don't care what anyone else thinks. You simply shout out. And in this moment, perhaps his blindness is a gift. He simply isn't able to see all the people who are there. He never has been able to. He simply hears and then cries out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And listen to the crowd's response. They shout back. Quiet. Don't speak. They're ashamed, perhaps, of Bartimaeus. It's not appropriate to act that way. This is our king, soon to be political king. Quiet. Show honor and dignity, man. And so what does Bartimaeus do? He shouts louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops. That's the gospel. This is Christianity. Jesus, the one who created all things, including the very patch of dirt that this blind man, a real person, Bartimaeus, is laying on, he stops. He hears the cry. And he says, call him. In the midst of the crowd, and all the noise of the crowd, and the crowd saying, silence. And by the way, the crowd was made up of Jesus' followers. Isn't that like the church so often? We just don't want beggars and messy people really messing up our nice stuff. Let us not be guilty of that body. Let us pray against that. So Jesus stops. It's the gospel. And he calls him. Back to Mark chapter 10, verse 49. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. Here's Bartimaeus, this blind man wearing his cloak. His cloak is security. It's comfort from the ailments. It's an identity, so to speak. He has it. He feels it. He knows every thread. But when Jesus calls him, he still can't see. He leaps up. Picture it. He takes off his cloak because it's going to hinder his speed at which he could get to Christ. He drops it. He leaves it there. It's unthinkable. And he moves. Picture it. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. This was his cry. Jesus, son of David, have mercy. Jesus stopped. And now Jesus asked the question, what do you want me to do for you? Imagine you're there and you're in the crowd and you're watching this happen. Imagine Bartimaeus' face. What did it look like when Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? You know Jesus knew what he wanted. You know Jesus understood that his request would be, help me see. I don't want to be blind any longer. But there's significance in the question. The writers of these Gospels, carried along by the Holy Spirit, wasted no words. This question is powerful for Bartimaeus. What is it you want us to do for you? And that question of Bartimaeus is powerful for us today. What is it you want Jesus to do for you? How would you answer that? The answer that you and I give may reveal something of our blindness. There's a moment when we can see our need for the gospel and grace. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we embraced it. But between that moment and the time in which he returns, we live with the temptation to see things we shouldn't see, to crave things we shouldn't crave. Some of those are good things, but we stop seeing. If Christ was to ask you, what is it you want me to do for you? Could you with great zeal cry out, help me recover my sight? Cover my spiritual blindness with new eyes. Let me fall in love again with the beauty of this, my Savior, Jesus. The question that Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you, was asked earlier in the chapter of those who had the closest look at Jesus. Two of his disciples. This is why understanding the context of the Bible is so important. Look with me back at the beginning of Mark 10. Jesus begins to teach. In verse 13, he talks about children coming to me. Verse 13, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. Can you imagine that scene? Can you imagine this morning as we're teaching the children, somebody beginning to shout, that's not appropriate, take the children away. They don't need to be touched by Jesus. They don't need to be encouraged with the word. It would be shocking. But that's what they were doing. Whenever someone is seeking Christ, there's going to be opposition. And Jesus teaches here that the opposition often comes from those who are walking as followers of Christ. So Jesus says to them, he was indignant, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Bartimaeus was acting as a child as he shouted, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. But then as the chapter progresses, look with me at verse 32. Jesus is speaking to his disciples about the events that are about to unfold. It's the cross. Listen. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, are you looking at the Bible? Look with me closely. Jesus says, see? I love that. Do you see it? Verse 33. See? We, all of us, are going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. That's what Jesus told them was about to happen to him. At this moment, two of the disciples, as the journey continues, decide that it's a good time to ask Jesus a question. And James and John, verse 35, the sons of Zebedee came up to Jesus and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Now, let's not be too hard on the disciples. How many of you have ever thought that way about God? God, I want you to do whatever it is I ask of you. In fact, whatever your question was a moment ago, the question of what do you want me to do for you, probably reveals that heart. We want you to do whatever we ask of you. And then Jesus said to them, the very same question he would soon ask Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? It's in verse 36 and in verse 51. What do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus' answer, help me recover my sight. James and John, they said to him, grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. And Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, we are able. You know why they said that? Because they're blind. They're so blind. Jesus just said, I'm going to be spit on. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to die. Okay. Can we sit in power with you? We're saying this quietly because we don't want the other 10 to know. They're blind. And Jesus knows it. Spiritually, they're as blind as Bartimaeus is physically. And Jesus shows compassion. Even through this miracle. We're blind too. If Jesus was to ask us, were to ask us, what do you want me to do for you? There are many answers we might give. And please hear me. Many of them would be good. But the great prayer from this passage is simply, Jesus, have mercy on me. And help me recover my sight. In our body right now, as it is any given time because of the size of it, there are people with shattered hearts, broken dreams, little ones who have been diagnosed with terminal illness, parents suffering in ways beyond what we can imagine, elderly facing their own death. Marriages that started happy now in disgrace. Children who have lost their way. And parents who have lost their way. People who once saw something now not seeing clearly. And what must our prayer be? Bartimaeus' prayer. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, Son of David, help me recover my sight. Help me recover my sight for you. Help me to trust in you in the midst of these storms that I can't even comprehend. And I believe what the gospel teaches us. Is that when we cry that way, when we pray that way, Jesus stops. He listens. He reminds us of his mercy. Mercies made new each day. Scripture can teach us how to pray. After Bartimaeus told Jesus what he wanted, Luke tells us, verse 42, Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately, listen, this really happened on a real patch of dirt on this earth that God himself made. This conversation took place. And Jesus said, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and he followed him, glorifying God. You see, Bartimaeus couldn't see anything. He heard this commotion and said, "What is it?" They said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." He cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped. He said, "What is it that you want me to do for you? I want you to recover my sight. Help me recover my sight." And he did. And that physical blindness that Bartimaeus had was gone. And the spiritual blindness that Bartimaeus had was lifted. He believed. He saw this Jesus stop. There was a time coming soon after when Jesus would stop again. He would stop and have a meal with these 12 men who were following him closely. He would stop in front of a political leader who washed his hands of the whole thing. He stopped in front of soldiers who were whipping him with a cat of nine tails. And he stopped carrying the weight of a cross that he could no longer carry. And he stopped breathing on a cross as his heart stopped bursting because he was taking on the sin of the world. And he did it so that blind people could see. The sight of heaven, a little, but in heaven, perfect vision forever. What do you think Bartimaeus felt when he saw the face of Jesus? If you are a Christian, he has given you mercy already to see a little. You're going to continue to see more. And one day you'll see perfectly. If you are not yet a Christian, perhaps there's a reason you're here today. Perhaps this is God's mercy to you. And through his word and spirit, he's present. Maybe today is the day you would cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And if you pray that prayer, you are saved for eternity. For eternity, nothing can separate you from his love. If you've never prayed that prayer, as I close this, simply pray those words, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner in need of your mercy." If you have prayed that prayer, rejoice now, even as we sing, that you have been given sight and your sight will only get better. But if between the moment in which you prayed for the first time, "Have mercy on me," and now your vision seems dark and clouded and distorted, pray what Bartimaeus prayed. "Jesus, help me recover my sight." Lord Jesus, your word is so powerful. The presence of your spirit is so real. We just simply ask now that you would do that work in all of our lives. And if there's someone here today who has never professed faith in Jesus, the only way, the only truth, the only life, pray now we do for their salvation. Hear their prayer at this moment. And Lord, for those who have prayed that prayer perhaps decades ago, give all of us who know you already greater joy, greater zeal, greater belief that you and you alone are the one who saves. Restore, O Lord, to us this sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.